36. The Hanging Man. Modo forced himself back into a half-crouch, struggling for breath. He'd nearly blacked out. The suffering was too intense. His body was changing, sending painful ripples through the muscles in his arms, legs, shoulders, neck, and face. He was unable to hold the tall, slender shape of the handsome knight. He felt his bones creak as his back hunched inch by inch, shortening his torso and tightening the noose around his neck. How long had he been standing like this? Minutes? Hours?
"Modo, are you well? You keep gurgling," Colette said.
He was thankful that there was very little light. He kept his face turned away so that she couldn't see the monster he was becoming.
"My shape is changing. That is my affliction." "I don't understand."
"It's hard to explain. You see, I can change my appearance. My body is contracting into a different shape. I'm not strong enough to stop it. The knot is growing tighter." He was surprised at how calm he sounded. His calves were cramping, his feet, each toe. Waves of agony that came and went, and he had to concentrate on staying still and stretching himself against the weight of his own body. The rope tightened around his throat again, so he whispered desperately,
"Griff, Griff, are you here? Can you loosen it?"
He waited, but nothing happened. Griff must have been watching Monturiel being interrogated. Modo shuddered. He knew Miss Hakandotti's methods. She had likely refined them further.
"Oh, Modo, I wish I could do something. Just don't watch me die," he said.
"Oh, don't be si melodramatique," Colette huffed. He tried to picture a way out. What would Tharpa do? But it was like a Chinese finger trap. The harder he pulled, the tighter the knot became. Griff had known what he was doing. If only Modo could make his hands smaller and slip out of the ropes, but they were too tight and wrapped around in several loops. His only hope was to convince the guard to untie him.
"Sir, sir, Miss Hakandotti will be angry with you if I die," Modo said.
The guard remained impassive, though his eyes flicked toward Modo.
"Yes, release him," Colette pleaded.
"The prisoners shall not speak to me."
The soldier's voice was dull. There was something wooden in his tone. Modo swayed on his feet, his thoughts caught in a black vortex. He heard voices. Faces floated in front of him. Mrs. Finchley? Was she here? And Mr. Socrates? And Octavia? He tried to reach for her, but his hands were tied behind his back.
"Modo! Modo!"
Colette shrieked, waking him from his trance. He gulped, his lungs empty, and thrust himself a little farther forward.
"You stopped breathing," she said.
I didn't mean to."
"Keep breathing."
Maybe there was a way, he realized, if he let his whole weight pull the rope. It was tied tightly, but it was old and thin, and there were ragged strands here and there.
"I have a plan,"
he rasped.
"A plan? I'm going to pull the noose tighter."
"What?"
"It's the only way. Look, the rope is frayed."
Even as he said that, he saw that the worn portions weren't that weak.
"I'll pull as hard as possible. But if you fail, you'll die. I don't have a choice."
He took a deep breath. Was all this madness induced by lack of air? His thoughts were already slower, his back hunching.
"Here goes."
He let himself fall backward so that the rope tightened around his neck, crushing his windpipe. His face, he knew, was going purple. The rope was now a perfectly taut, straight line. He stared, willing it to break. His eyes bulged as he blinked back sweat. He couldn't even swallow. He needed so badly to breathe, but his windpipe was closed. Dark spots pooled in his vision. Now he was floating and felt light as smoke. He saw a young man hanging below him.
"That's me."
The world was fading.
"No!"
he wanted to shout. His blood was rushing in his ears, a sound like the raven wings of death. Somewhere Colette screamed his name. He let out a gurgled cry. He was frothing, maybe even bleeding, he didn't know. He pictured Octavia in her green dress and tried to step toward her. The rope snapped, and he fell to the floor. The noose remained tight around his neck. He still couldn't breathe. Then he was jostled by something near his neck, and he worried that rats were at his throat. His lungs expanded like a bellows, pulling in air as he faded in and out of consciousness. He sucked in a breath, another.
"I used my teeth to loosen the knot," Colette said. "I nearly dislocated my ankles bending over. Be thankful I've got good teeth." "You look sick, Modo. Your face, it's hard to see in the dark, but you seem to have bumps."
Modo used his last bit of strength to turn away from her.
"It's nothing. Nothing."
Someone began clapping.
"Griff,"
Modo said, almost spitting the name.
"You two have given a very exciting display. Very much so. You are not so great, though, Modo. Remember that."
"You are a..."
Colette's voice trailed off.
"I know what I am. Well, your good captain has been very uncooperative. She keeps her secrets well."
Modo felt the knots around his wrists and ankles tighten again.
"That'll hold you," Griff said. "Well, it has been a busy day. I'll be dining with my captain. Venison, I am told. And after that I'll sleep the sleep of the just. Tahi!"
The door opened for several seconds, and then closed with a resounding thud.